And we come today to 1 John 3:8, and we'll be looking at other passages as well, but especially in 1 John. And we're coming to the end of a series of messages on the identity and mission statement for Living Hope. You can see on the front of your bulletin, it's written there. Living Hope is and aspires to be a worshiping community of Christ's disciples, known and knowing, loved and loving, and spiritually equipped to join God on His mission in every area of life. And today we're looking at that last bit. Living Hope is and aspires to be spiritually equipped to join God on His mission in every area of life. Spiritually equipped to join God on His mission in every area of life. So again, hopefully you've gotten there. 1 John 3:8. It's there in the back of your Bible towards the very end. Let me read for us now from the Word of God. This is the sword of the Holy Spirit. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, let your name be hallowed. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Even in this moment, as your word is opened and read and considered, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to understand, that we might be spiritually equipped to join you on your mission in every area of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's an old missions story. When missionaries had reached the barbarians in Europe, or some of the barbarians, and these barbarians, amongst this warring tribe of barbarians, had come to believe in Jesus. And so they brought them out for baptism and brought them to this lake where they could all go under the lake. And as they were baptized, it is said that these barbarians, this warring tribe, allowed the entirety of their bodies to be baptized, except for the arm that would hold their swords in battle. They went all the way under, but not that part, because could they really follow Jesus in the area of military and warfare? They didn't feel they could, and so they left that part out. Every other part of their lives could be baptized, but not military, not warfare. But that's a wrong conception. When Jesus calls us to be His people, to be His disciples, it's not for just a part or maybe several parts of our lives, but with all of our life. He calls us to follow Him and live for Him in every area of life. But Christians in modern America, we might think that, well, following Jesus is for religious times in our life, or for maybe the home and the church, but not business, because, you know, business is business, right? No. Jesus Christ calls us to follow Him in every area of life because the Son of God only came to destroy the works of the devil, not the works of God. God's good work, God's creation, all of it is His, and He calls us to live for Him in every area of it. So we're going to look at this passage from a couple different angles. First, we're going to note that there is a mission, that God does have a mission. Then we're going to note a little bit about who is this Son of God. And then we're going to look at And this is where we're going to spend most of our time, how the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. And then on the flip side, that the reason the Son of God came was to establish the works of God. Pretty simple. So first, there is a mission. God has a mission. 1 John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God came. He didn't just show up. He didn't slip and fall out of heaven and just ended up here on earth and is like, well, I guess I should do something while I'm here. He had a reason. From all eternity, in fact, God had a plan. And that plan came to fruition in history and in time as the second person of the Trinity came to become man. So there is a mission. God has a mission that he is seeking to achieve. We see this in just the simple word, the reason. And I've already mentioned who the Son of God is. He is the second person, we traditionally say, of the triune God. There is only one God, and he is three in person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son, or as John calls him in his gospel, the Word of God, became man. He took upon himself the fullness of human nature, body and soul, in Jesus Christ. This is who the Son of God is. This is the one we celebrate at Christmas when he became man. And the reason that he did that was to destroy the works of the devil. So let's look at this. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, what are the works of the devil? Well, as you all know, I think, right, when we're studying the Bible, context is king. Context is king. So we look at the context. What does he mean by the works of the devil? If you look back in verse 8, the first half of it, it says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Whoever makes a practice of sinning. So the works of the devil that Jesus comes to destroy is the practice of sinning. And that word practice is important. It's an ongoing, unremitting, unbroken practice. It's not simply referring to sort of the occasion of sin, but this ongoing practice. Sin is moral. And what that means is it's taking something good, right? Everything that God created is good. Chickens, grass, the sky, Jupiter, you. It's all good. God made it. If it is, then it's good. But we can take good things and use them in the wrong ways. Okay. Sin is moral. It's taking something good, even yourself, even your soul, but using it in the wrong way. Living for your own glory and praise. Using baseball bats not to hit baseballs, but to hit people. I don't know, you know? You get what I'm saying? Sin is taking something good and using it in the wrong way. The works of the devil is a practice, an ongoing practice of this immoral use of God's good creation. And at its core, what sin is, it's seeking to live independent of God and his guidance. At its core, that's what sin is, seeking to live independent of our Creator, not depending upon him for all things, nor listening to and trusting and obeying his word. Sin at its core is seeking to live independent of God and his guidance. We see in Genesis 1 and 2, God made everything good. and he made us to trust and obey him, depending on him for everything. That's what's presented to us in this beautiful historical and poetic picture that is presented for us in Genesis 1 and 2, but in Genesis 3, which is what John the Apostle is referring to when he says the devil has been sinning from the beginning. In Genesis 3, the devil, through a serpent, inhabiting a serpent, speaking through a serpent. I would have loved to have seen this, by the way. He got Adam and Eve and all of us, because of our organic connection with our head, Adam. You know, what Adam did affects all of us. The devil got Adam and Eve and all of us to trust and obey his guidance and to live independent of God. And so as a result, Adam, Eve, and all their children, all of us, without God's grace, we use God's good creation for wrong purposes and reasons. And it's just an everyday practice. Even those who go out and give money to the poor, doing it for the wrong reasons, with the wrong intentions. This practice of sinning is what the Son of God came to destroy. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And sinning takes place in every area of life. It doesn't just take place sometimes in the church. It doesn't just take place, say, in the home. It takes place in business. It takes place in politics. It takes place in the sphere of the arts. It takes place no matter where you go. It takes place on I-95, right? Sin takes place anywhere you find people, in every area of life. If you look at Moses' law, does Moses' law just refer to things that are religious, that the people of God are being taught about right and wrong with regard to? No. They're taught about how to wear clothes, because sin can take place in the area of fashion. They're taught about how to eat, because sin can take place in how we eat, how we treat animals. The law covers government. How is a king supposed to function? Right? Everything. Because no matter where people go, yeah, there you find sin. But Jesus, thank God, he came to destroy the practice of sinning in every area of life. So how is Jesus accomplishing God's mission then to destroy the works of the devil? So now we come to this last point. The reason the Son of God came was to establish, right? Instead of destruction, which is what he did. He will destroy the works of the devil, but he's also building. He's also establishing. The reason the Son of God came was to establish the works of God. So, we've already talked about the works of the devil. What are the works of God? Well, this would be the practice of righteousness. If you look at chapter 2, verse 29, it reads, "If you know that he," that is Christ, "is righteous." And this concept of righteous, it's covenantal, to use another Bible word. Okay? It's relational. It's living in right relation to God, depending on him, trusting him, obeying him, and living rightly in relation to others and self and even creation. It's this idea of righteous. Again, verse 29 of chapter 2. "If you know that he," Jesus, "is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." So the works of God refer to this practice of righteousness. And again, just as sin is moral, obviously righteousness is moral. Taking God's good things, including yourself, including your soul, and using them to love God and love neighbor as self. Or to use the old phrase from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's taking God's good things and using them in good ways. So the practice of righteousness at its core, though, is again, rather than living independent of God, living dependently. Living dependently on God, like children to a father, following His instructions and depending on Him for everything. That's why prayer characterizes, really, the Christian life, because it's an expression of dependence. It's an expression of what we were created to do in relation to God. Again, look back at 2:29 and 3:1 in terms of this relation of dependence and us being like children to a father. Verse 29 of chapter 2. If you know that Jesus is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. Has been born of Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Born of God. You know, sometimes you'll come across these little phrases, these little words in the epistles in the New Testament, and they are pregnant with meaning. They're carrying three truckloads of meaning. Born of God. Those who have been born of God are only born of God because it was in the eternal plan of God that they would be born of God. The Father and the Son in all of eternity making a covenant to redeem those whom God had chosen to redeem. God had planned He would create all things. And He planned that He would honor the free will of humanity to reject Him. And He planned to save some, to show some mercy, and not fair justice, not giving some what they deserve, but giving even a multitude without number a new birth. And in order to achieve this plan, to redeem these people, to bring them to Himself, the Son agreed with the Father that He would come and take upon Himself humanity and give His life upon the cross after having lived a perfectly righteous life, a life without sin. And then on the third day to be raised from the dead. They could never produce a body. I love saying it. The only thing that they needed to do to end the Christian community's existence and to nullify their claims was to drag the old dead body of Jesus out of the grave. And no Jew and no Roman could do it because He is risen. On the third day He rose again from the dead. But if that was all that had happened, nobody would have been born again. As every sinner who was making a practice of sin, who had been chosen by God and whose God's Son had died to effectively save them, not to maybe save them, but to surely save them. The Father and the Son sent the Spirit from heaven that they might be born again. You see, we were born once, all of us born, like Daniel there in the back, right? But we were born sinners. And as long as we remained in that state, we would never choose Christ. We would never believe in Christ. And we would never be broken from the sad practice of sin. But the Spirit, like the wind, blew into our lives. And He raised us up from being dead in sin to being alive to God, granting us a new birth. I was just talking to the youth yesterday. How much effort or what percentage of your birth can be ascribed to you? How much work did your mom do and how much work did you do to be born? Your mom did 100%. And if you don't think so, give her a call today. Tell her that you love her and then ask her that question. She did 100%. Guess what? In the new birth, 100% God's work. And therefore, it's a work of grace. We have nothing to boast of. I can't say about my neighbor, I believed you didn't because there's something better about me than you. No, no, no. I have nothing to boast in. It is all the work of God that we have been born of God. And when we are born of God, we put our trust in Jesus. Through faith, we receive the free gift of salvation. Through faith, we are joined to this Jesus, the righteous one, who never did anything but practice righteousness. And through faith, we are joined to him. And therefore, we will make a practice, not a perfect practice, but a practice of righteousness. And we are broken from the practice of sin. We are reconciled to God, and by the Spirit we are equipped. We are given gifts from Jesus so that we might practice righteousness in particular ways in the church, even for the benefit of the body, but also in the world. We're equipped with the Spirit. We're equipped with the truth. That's why we've been given the Word, so that we might be equipped by the Spirit not only to live for God in the church, but to live for God in every area of life, practicing righteousness in every area of life. That's the reason the Son of God came. No matter where we go, we are children of God, living for the family name, joining God in His mission in every area of life. It's crazy, right? We join God. It's how Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians. After he writes that wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, "For our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And then he says in chapter 6, verse 1, "Working together with him then." Working together with him? We work together with God? It's incredible. But that's the truth. Now that God sent the Son, and the Son came, and he died, and he rose again, and they sent the Spirit into our lives, and we have been reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we have trusted, and we have received this wonderful grace to be adopted as children of God, we now join our Father on His mission, making a practice of righteousness, not just in the church walls, but we leave this place being spiritually equipped to live for Him wherever we live and work and play. That is where the Christian life is to be lived, not merely in the church, but in your home. Not merely in your home, but in your business. Not merely in your business, but in your gym. Not merely in your gym, but on your phone. Not only on your phone, but on your computer. And so here at Living Hope, we seek to be a ministry that is and aspires to be spiritually equipped. We try to be spiritually equipped for this mission. We pray and worship. This is a way in which you get equipped. It is a way that we worship God. We come on Sunday to worship God, not merely to be equipped, but in it all, what we're doing here is God is trying to give you something from His Word week by week that you can then take and wisely apply wherever you go. We partake of what's called the ordinary means of grace. Things like baptism, and communion, and prayer, and fellowship. They're called ordinary because what we see in Scripture is this is what God ordinarily uses to give us grace by His Spirit to build us up and send us out into the world to live for Him and His glory. At Living Hope, we're a ministry that is and aspires to be a place that is spiritually equipped to join God in His mission in every area of life. So we encourage you to this. We try to encourage you to think about what does this mean for these various places that you live and work. But that does not mean that when you come to, say, a fellowship group or Sunday worship, that there's going to be a very specific answer given to you about your workplace or a specific answer given to you about your marriage or child rearing. Because your calling is to take it and figure out how does that apply to, in my case, raising Amelia or Annalise or relating to my wife. This is what the Bible talks about as wisdom, and it takes time and it takes trial, and it does involve error and coming back to God in prayer and asking for forgiveness and trying again. Jesus said, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need wisdom. So here in this church, we encourage you to apply the truths of Scripture by the Spirit to every area of life, but that will involve wisdom, that will involve trial and error, that will involve asking for prayer and praying and talking to your neighbors and thinking wisely about it. That's what we encourage you to do here. And it is our prayer that you will find that as you seek to live this life, you will see God at work. We can't force God to do something, say, in our workplace. We can't force God to move, say, as we're seeking to raise our children or have a better, more righteous marriage. But we make the effort and we pray for God to give the growth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for answering our prayers, we trust. As your word is read, we trust that it does not go out void, as Isaiah said, but that you will give the growth. As we say in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We trust that you're at work, Holy Spirit. So give life, give light. Let us be a people who know how to love you and others as ourselves in every area of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.